and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
All right, I'm just going to check that everyone can hear okay. All good? For those that don't know me, my name's Cameron. I'm one of the leaders on leadership here at West Ryde. Good to see you, and good to see a few visitors as well. As you can see, the topic that I've prepared this morning is this whole area of being teachable. And I know when I think of having a teachable spirit, that's something that Fran often prays for. And it's always challenged me because I think as followers of Jesus, there's always more to learn. Before I start though, why don't I commence this time with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you that you are sovereign. You are in control. You are in this space right now. And I just ask that you open our eyes, our ears, but most of all, our hearts to hear what you might have to say to us today. I ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, before we get into it though, there is a little bit of a video to get us thinking. And, too far. That's the one I want. Okay, this is a video. Just have a little look at these words and meditate on them. Very old hymn, perhaps some of you may know it. All right, I want you to cast your mind back to when you were a child. For some, that was only a short time ago, and there are a few kids hanging around, even though it's school holidays, there's quite a few away too. But for the adults in the room, cast back to a time when you were very young. What were your earliest memories of life at home? What type of education did you receive? Did you go to school? Perhaps you were fortunate enough to attend college or university. What do you remember about your learning experience as a child, as a teenager or young adult? Were you naturally gifted? Were you a straight A student? Or were you the type of person who had to work really hard just to pass? What about non-academic subjects? Maybe you were good at sports. Were you someone with practical skills who loved working with their hands? A tradesman, perhaps. Maybe you were a creative person, a dressmaker, a musician, a painter, or a potter. Now, this might sound very obvious, but I'll ask it anyway. Did you start your very first job knowing everything? Of course not. So what might have been the most important lesson or attitude that you learnt when you first started work? Make friends, yeah. What else? Listening to what others have to say. Julian? Good communication. Yeah, all those things. Yes, Felicity. Learn from mistakes. I love it. You guys have seen what I'm about to share. Well, that's right. I think what wraps up all of those comments is really a recognition about how much we don't know, realizing we have to start from ground zero, a very low base. And that actually teaches us humility. And humility allows us to learn and grow from others. Now let me just switch gears a little bit and just share a little bit about my family. I've got a beautiful wife, Cindy. She's in the front row. I've got four children. Three are here. One's playing soccer this morning. Now, Cindy and I naturally desire the very best for our children. From the moment Josh, Haley, Aaron, and Alyssa came into the world, we have loved and cared for them as any parent would. That's just a little picture of Joshua on the right, Haley on the left, and then little Aaron wrapped up in a blanket. Now, sorry, Alyssa, you weren't here. So out of this love for our children comes teaching, nurturing, leading by example, and some occasional discipline along the way. Cindy and I want nothing more than for our children to grow and develop into mature and responsible adults. We want them to discover and develop their own unique abilities and gifts, and for them to recognize they are each made in the image of God, a God who loves them beyond measure. As human beings, we like to celebrate milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, important achievements, big and small. There are countless moments that we, or our parents, will recognize and celebrate, but especially those formative moments in our life. Each of these milestones involves learning. So here are a few examples. I'm going to move fairly quickly through these. So here's little Aaron riding his first tricycle. Now here's Aaron, a little bit older, with his younger sister Alyssa, riding a real bike. Here's my father. He's sitting right here. Say good day, Brian. With Aaron learning to fish. And this was 2 days ago. The kids had a bit of time with their grandparents, and look, Aaron's learned to fish for himself. Oh, here's me with the younger two, taking in a sunrise down at DY Beach a few years ago, learning about how the sun rises each day. This was last year. if you can make out the picture, it's my dad giving me a hand putting up some shelves in the garage, and he's donning a circular saw. And it's good to see that Aaron's wearing some ear protection, teaching how to use a power tool. I wouldn't attempt this myself. Oh, here's Hayley. Last year she won, I think, 3 awards at school, and there's Aaron. I can't make that out. But what were you, first in your class? Oh, here's Joshua. Many years ago, for those that know Joshua, he loves public transport and loves timetables and loves taking his parents on all kinds of journeys around Sydney with as many forms of public transport as possible. He did the same thing 2 days ago, but as you can see, he's no longer that size. He's more interested in driving for himself. So in January or February, he got his P's. And he got his first car, a second-hand Ford Focus, about 10 or 11 years old. Wasn't perfect, had a lot of things to be done to it initially to fix up a few maintenance items. So there's 3 generations of FIPS: my dad, me and myself in the middle, and Josh. And what are we doing here? We're going to change the oil, I think. Let's have a look. Joshua's first oil change. Important skill to know. Here's the start of the year. Joshua is the school captain at Ryde Secondary. Super proud of him. Hayley in year 11, Aaron in year 8, and Alyssa in her final year of primary at Putney Public. And this was going back just before we went into lockdown in March 2020. I graduated from Morling College with a post-grad dip in chaplaincy and spiritual care. So my family, of course, were there. There was no singing, there was no handshaking. It was a really strange kind of graduation. But there you are, another moment to celebrate and to mark, you know, 4 years of learning. So that brings us back, I guess, to the fact that today is about understanding the importance of developing a teachable spirit. And it's so important when we think about the fact that we are all apprentices. We are all students, if you will, of our Master and Lord, our Saviour, Jesus. According to teacher and author John Maxwell, a teachable spirit is having a passion to learn, possessing an intention to learn daily, and reflecting on what we're learning to know how to apply it. Now, having a teachable spirit is foundational, I would suggest, to being a disciple or follower of Jesus. Well, then, what is a disciple? Let's go back to the basics. A disciple of Jesus is someone who seeks to learn and grow and be transformed to become more and more like Jesus. As Christians, we never stop learning and growing. It's something we do our entire life, or should do our entire life, until we see Jesus face to face in eternity. And in order to keep learning and growing, we need to develop and maintain a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is something that we need to cultivate, grow, and develop as we move through the many seasons of life. And as some of those pictures remind us, there are so many learning moments throughout our life. And as adults, we might look and think, oh yeah, they're pretty trivial. But to a parent, they are huge moments as we see our kids grow. And I like to think that God also gets excited when we grow and develop and mature, when we get off the milk and we get onto the solid food as disciples of Him. We often describe children as sponges who soak up everything they see and hear. Yet this adaptive learning strategy diminishes over time. As the child moves towards independence in their teenage years. And as we mature, it's not unusual for our learning horizons to be less pronounced or even plateau. Life becomes increasingly busy with higher levels of responsibility and complexity, with time and attention for those who marry and have children, with time and attention devoted to building a new family unit. And despite the changing seasons of life, Christians are called to learn, to grow and transform. As we read in the reading that Fran brought us earlier. You see, all of us who have had that veil removed, in other words, for those of us who have received Jesus, all of us in that category, we now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So it's not a case of once we've received Jesus, suddenly we've arrived. No, that is just the beginning, a single moment in time. It's this continuous posture of learning and growth and development throughout our life until we see Him and are transformed into His glorious image. When we think of the first disciples and their early years with Jesus, and then we track forward 3 or 4 years to the leaders that they became in the book of Acts, we see an incredible growth and maturity in their faith, carrying out the very words of Jesus in the Great Commission. But key to their growth, as I understand and read the scriptures, was their development and maintaining a teachable spirit, a heart that is open to grow and learn more about the Lord. And without a posture of humility and a heart to learn, I reckon those first disciples would have failed. As modern-day disciples, we too are called to follow the example of Jesus and the apostles. So having understood the why, let's now look at the how. Now what I'm about to put up are 7 thoughts or strategies about how we might develop a teachable spirit. They're by no means exhaustive. I've listed them there. But as we step through them, we'll go in a little bit of more detail and unpack what they might mean. But as we work through these, I'm hoping that you will see that developing a teachable spirit matures us as disciples of Jesus, but has untold positive benefits to those around us. The first, come with a willing and humble heart. So that first question I asked earlier, what was your key learning in your very, very first job? You needed to be a good listener, and you needed to realize that you don't know very much at all. So we come with a willing and a humble heart. Nurturing a teachable spirit always begins with accepting that we do not know everything. The disciples willingly accepted an invitation to come and follow Jesus. Now, it was no accident that Jesus chose this unlikely bunch of knockabout, uneducated men that would become his apprentices. Jesus wasn't looking at the external trappings of success, of knowledge. No, he saw their malleable hearts. Malleable just means soft and moldable. He saw those hearts, but more importantly, he saw their potential, not their credentials. And similarly, Paul encouraged an early church in a city called Philippi to imitate Christ's humility. It wasn't just a call to serve humbly, but to willingly commit to growing and learning in being the church. I'll read this to you. It's probably one of my favourite passages. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. See, our very first point is that we come willing to learn. We come with humility, and we model Jesus' humility. And the rest of that passage, which is, I think the Greek word is kenosis, Paul goes on to talk about how Jesus emptied himself in becoming a human being, so that he gave up his glory to die in our place. He humbled himself in the most astonishing and outrageous way because he loved us. That's the sort of humility we need to adopt. The second point of developing this teachable spirit is using the two things on the side of our head. There's a reason we have two ears and one mouth. I think we need to listen twice as hard as we speak. Would you agree? Have you ever had a conversation with another person and failed to give that person your full and undivided attention? Your mind may have been preoccupied by other things and you really just weren't interested listening to what they had to say. And I know I've been guilty of that. Next time you find yourself moving into that trap, make a conscious effort. Try and listen attentively in order to understand and truly experience what that person may be feeling. In counselling theory, and to be really someone that sits alongside another person in a pastoral care capacity, you need to practice empathy and reflective listening as we walk alongside other people, and to be present with that person. And in listening and caring for others, we become like Christ to that person. The third area is to be curious. And for some of my Persian friends, they know that curious is probably one of my favourite words. Make people curious. Eventually they'll want to know why. Never assume we know how another person is feeling. Explore and validate the feelings of those we encounter. Be curious of others' thoughts and opinions. Ask questions that convey genuine regard for their perspective, even when we disagree. In exploring alternative perspectives, we grow in our understanding of others, which then builds trust and respect in that relationship. I'm not going to read this passage, I'll just pop it up really quickly, but it's the story of Nicodemus. I think of him as the secret disciple. He came to Jesus at night. Now, he was a man of great power and authority as a Pharisee, and he would never want to be seen in public associating with Jesus. But he had questions. He had some big, big questions. And he came and saw Jesus at night, as that passage describes. Jesus then explains to him a concept that he just could not get his head around, that he needed to be born again. But his curiosity was key. And I don't know what happened to Nicodemus, but I like to think perhaps that in the events that followed, perhaps he came to be a full believer and entrusted his life to the Lord. Fourth, accept correction. Very closely related to having humility. We need to be willing to accept correction. Often we feel the need to justify a poor decision, and we become defensive in our response. However, try instead to accept correction as a gift and an opportunity to learn from the experience. When we open ourselves to accepting feedback and correction, we demonstrate a posture of humility rather than the opposite, which is pride and arrogance. I love these two verses, very simple. The writer of Hebrews, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." If we truly are seeking to follow the Lord, often there will be course corrections of character as well as direction. And you can't go past some of the beautiful proverbs we read. "Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored." The fifth area is we can do no better than to emulate, to copy, to learn from our master. Jesus wants us to learn as much about him as we possibly can, and he wants us to be teachable. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls." Giving your life to the Lord releases the burden that you carry. But it's a learning journey. It's a partnership. As we give ourselves to the Lord, he then teaches us those unforced rhythms of grace, and we're invited to learn and grow with him. The sixth area is learn from other people. Guess what? There are more people in the world, and the chances are there's plenty of people that know more than you do. We are all created with unique gifts and abilities. We each come with a different set of experiences and perspectives. Yet, we all bear the same image of God as our Creator. And for that reason, we should recognize everyone has something which may benefit, that we may benefit from and learn. We can learn from the lives of others. No two people have the exact same experience of God. His kingdom is diverse. And when we engage with those outside of our own culture and experiences, our world becomes so much richer. Talk to any missionary who has spent time immersed in other cultures. Have a chat to Ray and Fran. I guarantee you that they would agree that there is no such thing as one size fits all in reaching people for the gospel. Number seven, delight in discovering and sharing your learning with others. Iron sharpens iron. Have you heard of that? I don't know whether that's a proverb or a fact or one of those things, but iron sharpens iron. When we share with other people, it sharpens the other person as well as ourselves. Find delight in the everyday. your experience of God and how you connect with him is cause for celebration. Revel in the experience of learning and discovering God and his plans for your life. Share it with others. Remember, there is no limit to the many and varied ways in which God reveals himself in our world today. Share with others how you are growing in God's word. And remember this one thing. We must never reach a point in time where we act as though we have arrived and have nothing more to learn. In fact, that would be the very opposite of having a teachable heart. What does Jesus say? He says this, and this lovely sense of solidarity, brother and sisterhood. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. When we come together, we encourage each other and we grow and develop and sharpen one another as together we walk towards eternity. So the summary is there. There are seven things. That's not exhaustive. There are a few thoughts this morning. How we can develop a teachable spirit. But surely the words of Paul that we read this morning are really the summary of this. And the last couple of verses there. Grow. Our call as brothers and sisters, as followers, as disciples of Jesus is to grow. Not to sit still. Not to be apathetic. To grow. To become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. So that's the goal of being a disciple or follower of Jesus. Having a teachable spirit is essential if we are to grow and to become everything that God has created us to be. What are some practical ways, perhaps, that this might take shape for you? Number one, and sorry, this is a little bit small. Can you read that? I'll read it for you as we go. Spend time reading the Bible. Of course, that's an obvious place to start. But as you read, ask God to reveal new things that you may not have thought of before. Come approaching the Word with that desire to learn and grow and find something new. Spend time praying, whether that's alone or with others. Again, that act of humility and desire for communication and feedback, correction. God speaks to us when we pray. This is a good one. Everyone likes tea or coffee, I hope. I know there might be some that don't, but have a glass of water. But the key is not what you're drinking, but the fact that you're taking time and spending with another person. Invest in that person. Perhaps there's something you could do to support and encourage that person, practically or spiritually. I like this one. We all fall into the trap, but resist the urge. Consciously choose not to judge others. In every conversation and circumstance, have your spiritual radar on. Be aware of God's presence and leading. Join a small group, a prayer group, a DNA group, a connect group, whatever you want to call those small groups that gather. That's where the real learning happens, not so much here on a Sunday. If you're not in a group, get in a group. Or even better, start a new group. Invite people. Mentor someone younger than yourself. I think this is really valuable, particularly those who have been Christians for a long time. Invest in the life of someone younger than yourself. And I love this one too, because I think if we don't gather as the people of God, then we're only shooting ourselves in the foot. Commit to attending regularly. The last passage that I really want to leave you with is this. And this is the importance. The writer of Hebrews tells us so clearly, our Sunday gathering, or whenever we gather together, is not an optional extra. It's something that is so important. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The last picture that's about to pop up is someone that I have got to know over a few years in my pastoral care volunteering at Baptist Care. Meet Bess. Bess is a centenarian. She's 100 years old. And when I spend time with her, it's amazing how she speaks to me. I go to encourage her, but I walk away 10 times as encouraged. She's a lovely stalwart of Christian faith. She has seen so much, and yet she has unshakable faith and assurance that every day she spends on this earth is a blessing. She's blessing me. Maybe that's why her name's Bess. Bess the Blesser. As we close, I'd like you to just meditate on a song that was sung quite regularly in churches, probably in the 70s and 80s. For those that have been around a little while, you would know this. Change my heart, O God. Oops, hang on. Too quick on the clicker.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is change my heart, oh God.
Come change my heart.
Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Come change my heart.
May I be like you. You are the power. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Oh, well, thanks, Cameron, for that. Very, very good. It's nice that we have people in our church that can take on when our pastors are on holidays. So, yeah, very good. So our last song will be The Potter's Hand. Very apt after that one. And us also afterwards will be coffee and tea in the hall. So please join us for that. So let's stand to finish with The Potter's Hand.